This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I just want to say thank you to them for their hard work, their dedication, their professionalism to this organization, and wish them the best of luck. When it comes to Donnie in particular, I think he's an excellent coach, but an even better person. And I appreciate the relationship that we have and we've had over the years. I know he's made me a better general manager. I appreciate the conversations, him challenging me, and I've learned a lot from Donnie. And I can tell you that there's a lot of people in our locker room that games are in a much better place and owe a lot to their development, to the help that Donnie gave them. And I guess the simplest way I think about this is when I look at my own life and big things, small things, I always think about leave it better than you found it. And I can tell you, there's no doubt in my mind that our locker room, our team, our organization is in a better place today than we were 3.5 years ago when Donnie took over as head coach. And I'm very appreciative of that. As far as our team, I'm sure you'll get, you know, deeper, more definitive answers to questions you ask me, but just wasn't good enough. In my opinion, we underperformed, we were inconsistent, and we need to be better. So go ahead and ask questions and hope I can give you more insight there.
Why was now the time to make a change, Kevin?
Now, meaning today or just?
At the end of this season, I know that you've spoken in the past about wanting to take emotion out of it.
Yep.
And to evaluate these sort of situations. Why did you ultimately come to this decision at the end of the season?
I thought it was the right thing for us to take the next step. I certainly wanted to give this every single opportunity to succeed and to work. And in many ways, as I mentioned, we took a lot of positive steps over the years, but there were times where we were creeping back in it and we were just getting on the edge of the playoffs and getting back in that fight, and we just weren't able to win that next game or get ourselves to the next spot. But I wanted to give our team every chance to do that, and that's why, you know, I think in general I'm patient. I go through my own process when evaluating and making decisions like this, or any decision really, but you know, I certainly wanted to make sure I did that, and here we are today.
The fact that that this move came less than 12 hours after you finished your last game, does it indicate that you had made your mind up to a large degree before last night's game was over?
Yeah, like I said, I certainly wanted to give our team every chance to get ourselves to where I thought we could be, which was, you know, into a playoff spot, and it didn't happen. But I think it's fair to say that I didn't make this decision on the plane last night.
Did you give any consideration to making this move during the season? You know, get that bump from the new coach.
I never felt it was the right time. I think like I said, we just flat out weren't good enough this year, and we underperformed, and that's not just on the coaches, you know, that's on the players too, and that's on me. And I want to make sure you guys understand that when I make decisions like this, and this was my decision, I certainly talked to people that I'm close with and that I work with. And I certainly spent a lot of time recently talking to Terry Pegula about this, but this was my decision. And I felt this is what I need to do and we need to do as an organization to take the next step. But, you know, you think about things during the year, you balance out where are you at, what's the natural kind of evolution of our team and the ups and downs you go through. And I didn't feel that making a coaching change or was the right thing to do during the season, or I would have done it, period. And I just feel that we left some things on the table this year. We didn't perform to expectations, and we have to be better.
What was your frustration level with some of the repetitive things we saw this year when you were dealing with Don, talking to Don, things like first periods and the power play and, you know, not getting over the hump in a big game? I mean, just how much did that bother you about this team's development, that there were several qualities that just lasted almost all season?
Yeah, I mean, you touched on some of the things that, you know, you go through and you think about when you make decisions like this. I can promise you we could be here for an hour and you can keep asking questions about Donnie and you never hear me say a bad thing about Donnie Gordano. I think he's an excellent coach and I have so much respect for him. But, yeah, there were areas where you just weren't good enough, and those were conversations that, you know, I'm having on a daily basis with coaching staff, with players, and you touched on a few of them. I don't think we performed consistently enough up to our expectation of what I have, and I don't think we were competing at a high enough level game in and game out. I don't think we were our standard needs to be higher, period. And we need to start games better for sure, but I think it's too simple to say, hey, if we started better, you know, we'd be in a higher stance. I think there's a lot more to talk about with that, but that's, you know, that's definitely one of them. And we need to play better at home. And we just need to be better across the board. You'll probably hear me sick of saying that, but it's just the truth. It wasn't good enough. Yeah, geez. I mean, these are tough. I think anytime you are in my position, you want to make sure you're level-headed. You're doing what is best for the organization above all else. My job is to put this organization in the best possible place I can, and that means making hard decisions. Sometimes that's roster decisions. Sometimes that's trading players, signing players, whatever that might be. These are decisions you make. They're not easy. And a decision like this, of course. My style of leadership is to be very hands-on, to get to know the people that I work with at a very personal level. And that's you know, Donnie and the coaching staff. That's the equipment managers. That's the players. You know, like you guys know, I've had players over at my house for dinner. And that's because I want to get to know them. I want to be able to understand what they're all about, and they need to know what I'm all about. So that doesn't mean you don't make hard decisions. You make hard decisions if you think it's right. And this is the decision I made that I thought was the best thing for the Buffalo Sabres. And, you know, that'll be the message that I talk to the team about tomorrow.
Kevin, I'm interested in your comment about, like, the standard needing to be higher, and kind of as a follow to what Mike had said. We had heard things about, Don would say, the lack of compete, dealing with pressure. And for a roster, yeah, it's young, but it's got some experience now too. Was that reflective of his ability to reach them on a consistent basis? And is that also reflective of maybe some issues with some of the players you have on the roster?
Yeah, I mean, you don't get to the National Hockey League without handling pressure. That is the most ridiculous thing I could ever hear someone say, and that guys can't handle pressure. It's what you do for a living. That's how you get here. You start getting scouted as a professional athlete. You start getting scouted when you're 14, 15, 16 years old. So that's nonsense. We just didn't play well enough, period. We did not play well enough. From day one of training camp, I don't think we had our standard high enough, our expectations inside the room need to be raised, and there needs to be accountability across the board. And that starts with me. I take responsibility for this. First and foremost, I want all of you to know that I'm up here talking about Donnie, and I'm talking about the coaching staff and where we need to be better, but I need to be better. It's on me. I'm the leader, and I will be. But I take that very seriously, and I look at every part of this organization and feel very strongly that if there's a trust in relationships and how you deal with each other, then you can challenge each other. And I do believe we have that, and we have the people in the room that can handle that. So that'll be something that we definitely dig into as we move forward here.
Kevin, last year you mentioned that you felt the window was open for the team to win a Stanley Cup. Obviously, a disappointing season that's led you to where you are now, looking for another head coach. Would you say you still have confidence in that statement right now?
Well, more than ever. Yeah, I mean, first of all, I would say that. I don't know when I said the window's open. Maybe it was the start of the year. It was the end of last year, whatever it was. I would say it again. Absolutely not a doubt in my mind. What I mean by a window opening is I mean that we have a team that's competitive enough to be right there fighting in the playoffs and giving ourselves a chance. So, you know, and the other thing, just so you all know, that I know you guys have challenging jobs. And I can come in here and do press conferences and be annoyed or give you one-word answers and walk out. But I'm trying to give all of you, and I'm trying to give our fans, honesty and truth. And you know there's certain things I'm not going to talk about or I can't talk about, but honestly, I want you guys and our fans to understand exactly what's going on with this organization. And I meant the words I said, and I would say it again now. I believe I have a talented group of players that now we need to take the next step, which is obviously getting in the playoffs and going from there.
Kevin, you ought to notice on yourself, as you did, how much do you, I'm not sure if second guess is the word, but when it comes to not filling Jack Quinn's spot, when it comes to carrying three goalies, when it comes from maybe not making an extra move in the offseason, perhaps, do you second guess that, and how much does that also fall on you for putting this team together?
Well, it all falls on me. I mean, I'll take responsibility for everything. And we're not in the playoffs, so it didn't work. Didn't succeed. End of story. And that's on me. Now, it's natural for me in my process to go back over decisions we make and postmortem to some extent of saying, okay, where did we do some things well? Where did we not? What could we have done different? Now, that's different than second guessing or, you know, should have, would have, could. I mean, if you could have told me here on April 16th that you knew Jack Quinn was going to have another significant injury, wow, it's pretty sharp of you, John. I don't know if you could have said that. Did we talk about in the summer when he had his injury every possible scenario that we had in front of us of filling that role? Yes. Did we like the cost acquisition? Did we like the potential term of contracts? Did we like the UFA number that it might have been? No, or we would have made the move. And also didn't have a crystal ball to see that he would have another pretty significant injury. So, yeah, you can look back on it now and say, hey, that was an area that we could have done something. But I think we went through the process and made the decision we made. And I also think that no more talk about this being a young team. You know, like Zach Benson stepped into a pretty important role this year that was tremendous. And he's a young player. But we have a group of younger players that are experienced now. And now it's time to move forward.
What are you retaining your assistants that weren't referenced this morning?
Yep. Yeah, you can ask about any of them. But what you saw in the – I don't know exactly what was written in the press release, but – the three names I mentioned is who I spoke with this morning.
Do you envision, sorry, just follow up, those people who are being retained staying in their same roles?
No, yes and no. The people that were retained on the coaching staff were retained for a reason, but you know, I think this will be a very important conversation with the next head coach and how roles and responsibilities will be divided up. I mean, you guys know coaches, you know, some maybe more focused on the D or forwards or systems or power play, penalty kill, special teams, all that stuff, goaltending, obviously. So that's something that'll be worked through with the next head coach. I have very, in my mind, very clear direction of what I see and what I want to have happen. But those conversations will be happening.
What qualities does this team need in a head coach to take that next step that you referred to?
Experience. I want the next head coach to be someone that has experience and can push this group to the next level and win hockey games. And I think that's I have it in my mind exactly what I'm looking for, and that'll be starting today.
Coaching experience. Sorry to interrupt you.
That's yes. I mean, I would like, in my mind, as I've clearly thought about this, you know, knowing that, you know, where we are now, and that those conversations will happen starting this afternoon. I'm going to move forward as quickly as possible because I have a very clear direction in my mind of where we're going to go. But previous NHL head coaching experience, pedigree, is important.
Kevin, the owner hasn't spoken to us in 4 years. How would you characterize his mood, and how serious a mandate has he given you and your staff and everyone in this organization about making the playoffs next year and ending the longest drought in the history of the league?
Covered a lot on that question. Mike, I get asked this every time I do a press conference. Terry Pegula is as engaged as he's ever been. I was hired by the Buffalo Sabres the year before the Pegulas bought the team. So I've been here for a while and obviously in different roles and different areas within organizations. Terry Pegula watches closely, talks to me every day, has strong opinions on what he sees, and we have great conversations. Do not take the lack of necessarily you seeing him in the press box as a sign of anything. He is dealing with personal matters, okay? That's important to know. He is engaged. He wants this team to win. He wants to have success, and he's willing to do whatever it takes to win. And that has never changed from the moment I've met Terry Pegula. He has given me every possible resource that he has to help this team and help this city, by the way. And I can't say enough about the dedication that he's continued to show this organization, this city, the players, and that's not changing. And the last part of your question is, are the expectations to make the playoffs? Absolutely. Period.
Who's going to be involved in the head coaching
search? Sorry?
Who will be involved in the head coaching search?
Well, I mean, you know, like, you know my style enough to know that nothing happens in a vacuum. Clearly, this will be my final decision, like I said earlier, but Terry Pegula will be absolutely someone that I'm leaning on through this process. Obviously, Jason Kermanos, Mark Jakubowski are people that are in the management team that I talk to. You know, I've done coaching searches and hiring coaches before. I did it in the American League when we hired Seth Appert a few years ago. I did it, obviously, when Donnie became coach. That summer when he was interim, I interviewed a lot of different people and had multiple people in the room at different times. So I've done this before. But yeah, it'll be a process, but I can't stress enough, Matt, that my mind is very crystal clear on what I'm looking for, and we'll move as quickly as possible to get it done. Go ahead, Matt. Let Matt finish it. Go ahead. Well, it's been a few hours, and my phone has been on do not disturb, but when I looked right before the press conference, I had a lot of voicemails. I think this is there's a couple things I can tell you about this organization. I think it's viewed now as an opportunity because there is a lot of talent. And I truly believe, and I do believe others see this as well, that we're right on the cusp of taking the next step. And if you're a head coach and you're competitive and experienced, that's something to get excited about. And this is a hockey city. People that love the game and love the feeling of coming into a rink and feeling the expectations of fans and pressure, you want to be in a city like Buffalo. So no doubt that this is going to be an attractive job.
Just to double check, you talk about the pedigree and the kind of guys you want having experience. You're really probably not going to wait for somebody, right? Because you want to hire a coach in a relatively short order. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, waiting just to see what happens over the summer, you mean? Like,
guys who might be involved in the playoffs.
Yeah, no, I'm going to move. I mean, look, we're not going to ever rush into anything and not going to do something. There's no artificial timeline. But what I can tell you is I have a plan. And if the plan moves quickly, even better. I think that's important. But it won't. We wouldn't do something that we don't think makes sense just to do it fast.
Clear idea of what you're looking for, and I guess I ask this not only now with your experience as a GM, but as a guy who won a Stanley Cup, you know, on the ice. I'll be trying to be as open-ended about this as possible, but like the combination of maybe an old-school hold the feet to the fire accountability type approach, and you know, the ability to communicate and deal with the modern player—that's a delicate balance in coaching these days. What's your view of that, and how does it fit within what you're looking?
Yeah, you nailed it. I think that is it's exactly where I believe our team is, you know, in terms of we are craving accountability, structure, and that our team's now mentally, in my opinion, ready for that, mature enough to handle that push. But make no mistake that it's a lot different than it was, you know, a long time ago, where you could just really, really, you know, slam the door and kick garbage cans and stuff like that. It's just different. So there has to be a blend. You have to be able to communicate. You have to be able to, more than ever, one-on-one with players, articulate exactly what, as a coach, exactly what the expectations are when you step on that ice, but also build a relationship. And the players now, and I think this has happened over the last few years, they want a relationship. You know, I don't want to sound old, but when I first came in the NHL, like, you were scared of the coach. You didn't want to talk to him. And now, you know, there's a true relationship, and that's the way it should be, by the way. I love it. But that's what has to happen. So that the next coach we get, you said it well. That's something that I think will be critically important at the top of the list for me.
Previously about roster management and the moves you did make this year, how does that change your philosophy of this isn't a young team anymore, but are you still seeking a veteran addition this summer?
Yeah, I think I want to be a little careful. Like, this is just about winning, you know, winning. And if there's players in the offseason that we think will help, 22, 32, 42. We want players that are going to help us win. And I'm not afraid. I know we're the youngest team in the league. I understand that, and that's real, and that's part of where I do think the inconsistency and the ups and downs at times have happened. But, you know, we have now players that have experience in this league and have been through the league a few times. So that's no more needs to be talked about. So, yeah, it's nice to have players that have been, you know, been around a little bit, but It's to me, it's more about finding the fits that help us win. And we're going to do every single decision we make from the time I walk out of this room until training camp is going to be with that in mind. How do we help our team get better?
Kevin, this team maybe needs to be harder to play against. You need to find some players that are harder to play against.
Yeah, yes. I mean, big picture, Paul, yes. That can be such a big answer, Paul, because sometimes being really hard to play against is just being extremely fast and attacking teams, and you just got teams on their heels, and you're like, whoa, this team is hard to play against. And then there's the hard to play against of like, man, it's miserable. Every time I touch the puck, I got a guy in my face, and I got no time and space, and I think we need to be both. I do think at the bottom six of our lineup, our forward group, we can have a little more, be a little more abrasive, a little more identity, and, you know, that's something that I've talked about with you guys before, that we've accumulated talent, and sometimes now it's it's figuring out the ways your lines kind of flow together and maybe a little bit more of identity on a line lower in your forward group. So, but I guess overall answer to your question, yes, we want to be harder to play against and, you know, compete harder, more physicality. I want this building to be really, really hard to come into. You got to win at home. You want to be a playoff team. You need to be a good home team. And this building, I know it's capable of rocking, and I know it's capable of having a true home ice advantage. And I can't wait for that to happen. But we have to earn it on our side, and I can't wait for the fans to embrace it and help us there.
Part of the internal discussions when it came to this philosophical switch to focus a little bit more on defense, that kind of it neutered that high-flying team. Did you agree, or did it go too far, and did it provide this team some hesitancy in that sense?
Yeah, I think I want to clear one thing up. The system did not change. Did not change. Our system did not change. And if you want me to say it one more time, our system did not change. What changed was at times a little bit of the focus starting in training camp of making sure, cleaning up some things defensively, but there was no systematic change, okay? So I will admit in terms of as a former player, sometimes if you're thinking one way, there could cause hesitancy and maybe it slows you down just that half step or whatever it is. So it can look like that, but there was not a philosophical change. There was not some number crunching in the summer that said, okay, we need to really change how we play. It just, sometimes a point of emphasis, and it can be well-intended, just changes maybe the dynamic of the team a little bit. But I do want it to be really clear, there was not a system change.
But what happened?
Which part?
Well, I mean, you went from a high-flying, high-scoring offensive team to a team that couldn't score.
Yeah, I thought we were caught in the middle, Mike, like, sometimes it's easier up top to see it, you know, where you guys sit and I sit, than it is being behind the bench, you know, as a coach, because it's just, you're right there. Sometimes sitting up top, you can really see. I felt oftentimes this year we were caught in the middle. And I think being caught in the middle is the worst spot you can be. And what I mean by that is you're not a extremely offensive attacking team. You're not a really defensive team. You're kind of in the middle, and that's tough. And that's what I saw, a little hesitancy. And we need to fix it. And, you know, and I will say just philosophically, I think that you can argue almost any system you play can work. You've seen teams that are very offensive. You've seen teams that are, you go back all the way to the Jersey days where they're trapping and sometimes in the middle. It can work, but everybody has to be completely dialed into it and on board and feeding and reading off each other for the system to work. And I think that there was just a little bit this year of just guys just off a little, and that's all it takes in this league.
How do you feel about your core at this point? There were a lot of long-term contracts handed out and a lot of regression this year among those individual players.
Yeah, I think, I think a couple things. One, you know, I think you got to be a little careful with the word regression, and if you take a step back and you look at everything, there was some great progress this year from goaltending and what UPL did and JJ Paterka and just, you know, so there's some of that. And then regression wise, yeah, there's even guys that are a little more experienced in their career. You're coming off a career year. It's challenging to duplicate that. So the challenge that we had was that we had a number of players kind of fall off and regress. And now the question is, you know, why? And that's, you know, what I've touched on a little bit, and we'll fix it. But in terms of our core, believe in these guys. I completely trust that this is a group of people that will get this right, that want to make this team great and want to be here in Buffalo and believe in what we're doing and hold themselves accountable. You know, there's many conversations through the years of some of the guys that you're probably referencing in our core that felt like they're letting the team down, letting the city down. And you'd rather have that because they care. But I have no concern that these guys are not going to be, you know, excellent players for us moving forward. So, you know, big picture, our core, excited and believe that, they're going to take a step and they'll do it now.
Not to ask you to
to tell us what you're going to say to the players specifically beforehand, but just generally, what message do you want to get across to them after making this change, just given the way the season's went and the concerns that you've cited?
Yeah, time is now, Lance. You know, like, I think coming into this year, there was still, okay, where do we fit within the league, and where are we, some of our players, even in terms of, like, where do I fit in the lineup, and what am I going to be? Like, it's go time. It is time to perform on an individual level and as a team level, and we have to be better. And the message, you know, like, again, not to get into specifics of what I'm going to say, but it'll be a challenge to them, and they'll be, and part of what I want to help get across to them is when you win, you think back on certain snapshots and certain, oh, remember we won that game in overtime and certain big games. But really, really what you do is you think about the sacrifice and the commitment and the work ethic and the grind in a practice when you're exhausted and you got off the plane at 3 a.m. and then you push hard and then you get on the bike after, and that's what you remember, and looking around the locker room and looking guys next to you in the eye and saying, these are the guys that I want to go battle with. That's what you remember when you win. And I want our guys to have that feeling, because I know we have the character in that locker room, and now we have to go earn it. And not to get caught up in anything other than showing up every day and challenging yourself to be better than you were yesterday, to be accountable to each other, to be accountable to yourself. Like, that is... that's the magic. And I want them to take that into the summer, because, you know, I wouldn't say these things, you know, 4 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, because I knew we were still evolving. Now I know we're right there. We're on the cusp, and it's going to be up to us. It's going to be hard. But that's the best part. And that'll be the message. He looks like significant enough that he'll probably have to miss the World Championships. He was pretty disappointed after the game. I know he's excited to go to the Worlds. He was getting an MRI. Actually, I think he's doing it maybe right now. Nothing that'll in any way affect him next year or in the summer training, but he's going to be out for – he would have been out potentially a few weeks here.
Kevin, when you say this, being competitive, consistently was lacking. Is that something that needs to come from the coach, or does that have to come from within, from these guys organically, to push each other to do this on a game in, game out basis?
Yeah, both. You know, I think the best thing about being competitive is it starts in practice. You know, puck battles in practice, one-on-ones, competing, and then it carries over into games. And The game is at a great place right now, in my opinion. The National Hockey League, I'll say this, is talented as I've ever seen across the board. The speed, the skill, and people talk about which they should be, but it's also extremely competitive. So you have to have that willingness to compete, and then the skill comes out. And I think sometimes this year what I saw was, we're going to show how skilled we are, and that was the lead. And I just think we had it sometimes out of order. Like, let's compete first, and then let's let your talents go from there. And so the answer is, it's both. It's the players making that choice, and it's the coach and the coaching staff being on that every day, every single day. And knowing it's a long season, and I understand sometimes you can really, really push guys, and sometimes you have to pull back, but that's feel. That's what I'm talking about. I'm an experienced coach. In terms of, you know, what I'm looking for is someone that has that. All the data is great, all the science is great, but sometimes you have to have that feel too, and that's something that I think is important.
Can I speak to the standard you're talking about?
Yep.
Kevin, I'm thinking back to last year and came so close to the playoffs, and there was a, I don't know, at least outwardly, I got a sense that there was kind of a we've arrived as a playoff team type vibe that was coming out of that room, at least to me.
Yeah. We got to earn it.
Does your messaging change based on that hindsight?
I don't know. I certainly don't. We should have never had any sort of arrogance coming out of our locker room. We haven't done anything. We haven't. haven't made the playoffs. We haven't put ourselves in a position. We haven't earned the respect in the league yet. So the reality is, too, that 31 teams are disappointed at the end of the year, right? There's one team that feels really good. But there's 16 teams that are even feel worse than the other 15 teams. We haven't earned it. We got to earn it. And, like, this league doesn't give you anything. The game doesn't give you anything. You have to respect the game. You have to respect the league. And that's what I'm talking about, the mindset of walking in the morning and it's time to go to work. And then loving that time with your teammates and appreciating that time and being on the plane together and all these things you get to do together. But when it's time to work, it's time to work. And that's something that our group, I saw going through that maturation process this year, and that needs to be continued. But and it sounds so simple, but it's just about earning it, period.
You know, when you go over your players this summer, how do you sit down and think to yourself, in Tage, do I have a 47-goal score, or do I have a 29-goal score? Or in Dylan, do I have a 31-goal score, or do I have an 18? Or we can go through a lot of guys. How do you make that determination as you sit down and think about your players this summer?
Yeah, it's a great question, Paul. I think some of it you have to look. You have to look at where players were health-wise at times. You know, you're not going to make any excuses for anybody. And injuries are part of the game, unfortunately, and they're also – every team deals with it. But a guy like Tage really battled the first half of the season, a lot of things that – and there was a lot of nights he's playing and wasn't himself. So that plays a role in it. And then he did get healthier – in the last half, you know, kind of whatever, the last 30 games, and you saw the production look a lot more like the 47-goal scorer and, you know, that we expect. So you take that, and then I think the other thing, you know, I like to do is kind of look at the process of their game. So take Dylan Cousins. If he plays the game the right way, meaning good on both sides of the puck, competing hard, fast, power-forward mentality, get to the net, the offensive production will be a byproduct of that, and not reversing the order of saying, I'm going to go score 30 and, you know, doing it a different way. So that's what I look at, and I think at times, you know, with Dylan in particular, last night he looked like the exact guy I'm talking about, and there were other nights where I just thought, you know, he's not playing to his identity. And I talked to Dylan sometimes this season about, at the end of the game, the other center that you've been going against, especially at home when you're matched up against another team's top line, has to be like, this was miserable. That was a miserable night going against 24 all game. And that's the reputation that you want to have in this league. And to me, Dylan's role is a little different, where he could score 25, but he helps us win more games because he's first penalty kill. He's taking the big faceoffs. He's going to be out there at the end of the game, maybe block a shot. That doesn't show up on the offensive side, but it just helped us win a hockey game. So some of it, too, is our players maturing to understand that the role they play ultimately is about winning. And I think that's a step that we'll talk about this summer as well.
How wide of a net do you think you'll cast in the search, knowing that you have a specific skill set, but how many roughly guys do you think you'll enter?
I don't want to put a number on it, Matt, but I think I have very specific thoughts on this, and if there's a number of people that check the box, great, and the conversations will be had, but I'm not compromising on what I think our team needs, and I'm going to be relentless on this.
With the parameters you have set in mind for a coach, how many names, I guess that's probably a little bit too late, but how many names immediately come to mind when you have, say,
well, I don't know. You know, if you mean they're coaches on other teams, but I don't know. I'm not worried about it. I'm going to get the right one.
Kevin, do you think, or are you open to adding any voices to the hockey operations department?
Always, you know, always looking for talent, always looking for, this is about the time where we'll sit down and have conversations and really go over our, you know, org chart and structure, and where do we ask ownership to put more resources, or where do we need maybe less resources. So I want talented people around me. I want people that challenge me. I think I'm extremely lucky right now to have really good people with, you know, Jason Karmanos and Mark Jakubowski and Jeremiah Crow on the pro side and, you know, Jerry Fortin on the amateur side and then Sam Ventura on the analytics. Like, I do think we're well positioned from a hockey ops. But, yeah, absolutely open to adding. And if we think there's a reason to add, we will.
Awkward to ask this question, given that Rochester still has a playoff run ahead of them. But with where Seth is at and what he's accomplished there, I'm sure other teams are probably going to call him this summer with opportunities. With wanting NHL experience as in your head coach, is it possible that you talk to Seth about an opportunity with the NHL staff? How do you, I guess, plan to proceed when it comes to him?
Yeah, I mean, I think very, very highly of Seth Appert. You know, when I hired him, was it 4 years ago now? I told him I think maybe the hardest job in professional hockey is the AHL head coach job. It just is, because you're developing players, you're trying to win, you're dealing with younger players that have the ups and downs. He's done a phenomenal job. He's got a bright future. My biggest thing with Seth right now is I want him to be completely focused and locked in on Rochester. You know, they have 3 games left here, which are critical games, and then they have, I truly believe, an opportunity to do something special in the playoffs with the talent they have in the roster, and I also know how much that'll help our guys. So, but, you know, big, big believer in Seth Appert.
And I guess just to close the loop on the timeline, you know, you had referenced before, we started the year saying the window is open, and it's safe to say it doesn't seem like at that point it felt playoffs or bust, but was it just once you felt things were repetitively underperforming that you knew a change would come?
Yeah, I'm trying to understand exactly the question. Like, if you're asking about, you know, did we make a coaching change because we didn't make the playoffs? Is that what you mean? Like, playoffs are bust? Yeah, like, it's part of it. I believe our team underperformed this year. I think we have the talent that we could be a playoff team. And that's not just on Donnie and the coaches. That's on me, like I said, our players. We're all accountable for that. But it's bigger than that. You know, there's a lot of things you think about and you factor in when you make big decisions. And it's for me really looking at the process and the intricacies of certain things. And then it's basically for me thinking about how do we take the next step and what do we need? What does that voice need to be? And I just felt this was the right time to make the change.
From your perspective, what happened to Uka Pekka around, I mean, he kind of became the starter in late November, then he got sick. But what happened to him in November, January that led to his ascension, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, I think this was coming. You know, I've said this, I believed it, that we were in a position of strength in the goaltending. I said it a year ago because I truly believed that we had, you know, two young goaltenders that were, you know, really kind of coming. And you don't know exactly what the timing of that is. But I think the work that he did over the previous couple years, the work he did in the off season when he was healthy, you know, it took him a couple years there of dealing with injuries and then rehabbing in the summer. But when he was able to really lock in and put the work in, and then you saw the work on the ice and you just saw his game maturing. And I love the fact that what you don't know about the next part is the mindset. You know, like, he wanted the net. And he had an opportunity, and he ran with it, and it was great to see. And I loved the confidence that he gave our team. You know, I think almost all the games he played this year, he gave us a chance to win, and that's really at the end of the day what you're looking for out of your goaltender.
Kevin, you said you want a seasoned guy. It seemed like you get the point. You want some seasoned experience. What's the budget on? Are those top guys available for a team like this, budget-wise?
I can only tell you that there's never been a time that I haven't been given every resource that we need here to win, period. And this isn't going to change this time. I'm not going to get into names. I think it's a challenge to do that and unfair. I think what you need to know is that you guys can, as I walk out of here, know I have a plan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.